Today's Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him, each had six wings. Two covered their eyes, two covered their feet, and with the other two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and I live among." And then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth and with it said, "Now this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Our New Testament lesson today comes from John 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born from above after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said this to you. You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes and from to where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Do you like to read? Do you like a good mystery? When I was a kid, I used to go to the library every day. It was three blocks from home, and I'd go every day. And I enjoyed reading Nancy Drew mysteries. And then after a while, I kind of got away from the mystery genre, read romance for a while, and, you know, a bunch of other things. And maybe you enjoy Agatha Christie, or Edgar Allan Poe, or Mary Higgins Clark. Nowadays, I tend to enjoy these psychological thrillers. They kind of mess with your head, and there's some mystery to them. But the thing with reading a mystery novel, or any kind of whodunit, is that By the end of the book, the mystery is usually solved. Once in a while, you may have a mystery that leaves you hanging, or maybe leaves you to draw your own conclusions. And I think that's how Nicodemus felt in the middle of this conversation with Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a wise man. He was an educated man. He was part of the Sanhedrin. So he was one of the Jewish leaders. And he's curious about this preacher who he's heard about. And he goes to see him. And he goes to see him at night. Now, some scholars think that he chose to go at night in the dark so that his fellow Jewish leaders would not know that he had gone to see Jesus. That he didn't want to be associated with Jesus. And some scholars think that the visit in the darkness actually represents the darkness of Nicodemus not knowing or understanding Jesus. That going in the darkness represents his confusion. And Nicodemus doesn't start the conversation off very well. He tells Jesus that he knows he's a teacher and he comes from God because of the things that Jesus has done. So he's probably thinking, you know, I'll flatter him a little bit up front, you know, and this will go really well. But Jesus isn't interested in people being excited about his miracles. He's not interested in their heads being turned by those things that he's done. He wants people to come to him. He wants people to follow him. He wants people to hear his words and to know his love and to be in relationship with him. So is Nicodemus really open to hear what Jesus has to say? Is he willing to lean into the mystery? Because Jesus' response already is not what he's expecting. When Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again from above, Nicodemus is using his head, not his heart, when he responds. He asks, how is it that a man can be born again and climb back into his mother's womb? The word, the Greek word, anathen, means again, but it also means anew, and it means from above. It doesn't mean again as in repetition, again and again and again. It actually means for us to accept the invitation that's offered by Jesus to be made anew from above. And Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? Nicodemus needs to lean into the mystery and to learn. And so do we. To be born of the Spirit is to have those questions like Nicodemus had and to ask them. But then you have to actually seek God in truth to get your answers. Jesus was born from on high. To enter God's realm, we need to be born from God's realm. And I know this is really hard for us to wrap our heads around because in some way, we're all Nicodemus. The rebirth we need is a spiritual experience and it's available to everyone. And sometimes, us so-called religious people, we need it the most because we may not think that we need it since we're the religious people. But so was Nicodemus. And yet, he did not have the answers. And religion can become a matter of observances and worrying about correct observances of certain practices, so much so that our obsession with those practices can be obstacles to our spiritual transformation and sensitivity. And if that happens, then you know you really need the spiritual transformation. So to be aligned with God's reign and God's presence, we all need this transformative overhaul of our traditional ways of seeing and being. Nicodemus had to see the world differently. He had to be in the world differently. We need to see the world differently. We need to see the world through God's eyes, not our own. And we need to be in the world differently. We need to be in the world as new creatures and not creatures of this world. So Nicodemus continues to be confused, and his confusion is deepened because he's unable to leave that space of literal thinking to join Jesus in this imaginative spiritual level that Jesus is speaking of. And Nicodemus is stuck in that space. He only sees black and white. He only sees what he knows. And it's just not possible to use the literal physical interpretations that we know and that we're accustomed to when we talk about spiritual truths. God is mystery. And sometimes we feel real uncomfortable with that because we want God to be black and white. We want God to be really clear, but it's not that way. God is mystery. And we have to learn to lean into the mystery and be okay with the discomfort of mystery. Nicodemus can't wrap his head around those truths. And what about eternal life? Now there's another mystery for you. John 3:16 is one of the most popular verses in Scripture, right? You go to a football game and you see banners with John 3:16. I often wonder, do they even know what that is? Why are they putting that up in a football game? T-shirts, plaques, mugs, right? All over the place. And people can recite it, right? It's one of the most famous verses. But you see, eternal life is different than just a quality of life. It's a quality of life. It's not merely a lengthening of life. You know, sometimes we look at it, it's like, okay, well, we go into eternal life, and we just keep doing, you know, we just keep living. But it's a quality of life. You're going to be living differently, right, in God's presence. It's spiritual, it's transformative, and it transcends anything that happens here in this physical life. Sometimes we get hung up on our circumstances here, and what's going on here. But eternal life transcends all of that. None of this is going with you, right? Anything that you endure here, that you put up with here, that you have to go through here, that stays here. And you need to let it go, and you need to let it go here so that you can be transformed. And many of us, you know, we can identify with Nicodemus and his literal perspective because it's tangible. It's what we know. It's what we can see. But Jesus came to save us from a life that is physically absorbed in this world. We can identify with Nicodemus's misunderstanding and realize that sometimes we fall in that same rut. But you see, there's more to being a Christian than going to church. There's more to being a Christian than being a church member. We need to move from that place to truly being disciples of Jesus. And that's the point that Nicodemus wasn't quite getting. But to do that, we need this transformation that's given to us by the Spirit. Life is a mystery too. Right? We don't understand everything that happens to us in life. How many times have you asked, why God? Why? And you may not get the answers. Life is mysterious. We just buried our dear senior pastor, Frank. And in this whole time when we were dealing with his illness and uncertainty and his ultimate death, how many times did you ask, why Frank, God? You know what Frank would have said? Why not me? Why not any of us? A simple, easy life has not been promised to any of us. Life has good and life has bad, and life has joy and life has despair, and life has pleasure and life has hardship. Why should we be spared half of that? We're not. It's all part of the mystery of life. And the sooner we understand that and embrace that, then we can get on with that transformation and accept the gift of life that only God can give. And that's a gift of life that comes from God and that comes wrapped up in hope and wrapped up in joy. And accepting that gift allows us to move in the Spirit and to be born from above. There are two women in a church, and they seem to have similar lives. But the first one, she's incredibly overworked. She's a legal assistant, she's married, she has two teenagers, and she's tired most of the time. She teaches a Sunday school class for children, and she's tired of that too. She feels burnt out in just about everything. Now the second woman, she doesn't feel trapped. She works as an office manager, she's divorced, and she has two small children. She's busy, but she finds time to teach an adult Sunday school class. And she enjoys life and the people around her. The two women, their lives seem alike in most respects. But the first woman, she thinks her life is dull, and she lives out of a sense of duty. And maybe the boredom she feels is the Spirit calling her to a better way, to do something different, but she doesn't quite see it. The second woman, she thinks of her life as a gift, and she lives out of a feeling of gratitude for that gift from God. And at any given time, we can be one or both of these women. It's all a matter if you're going to accept that gift from God, accept the mystery of life that's wrapped in hope and joy. And the change that you want in your life, the change that you need in your life, it comes. It comes from God. And if you're feeling burnt out and you feel no joy in what you're doing, then you need to change what you're doing. And you need to ask God for that rebirth that comes from above. Like birth, the new life of faith is a mysterious gift. Think about it. Those little babies, they're so beautiful. They're so precious. I know I stared at mine for hours, just amazed that we had, with God, made this precious little thing. And when you think about yourself and your body and how it's made and how things work together, it's a mystery. Sure, we have scientists and doctors that know a whole lot about it, but there's a whole lot they don't know, too. So like birth, the new life of faith is a mysterious gift. And remember that God's ways are not our ways. We tend to make God like us, and we put God in this little box. But God is huge. Awesome, and just beyond our imagination. God is a mystery. And there are things about God that we may never understand, and that's okay. Your part is to focus on God. E.W. Stanley Jones said, "What gets your attention gets you. If you keep your eyes on money, money gets you." I didn't say you get money, I said money gets you. If you keep your eyes on power, power gets a hold of you. If you keep your eyes on the value of the world, the values of the world are going to get you. And if you keep your eyes on your problems are going to get you. But if you keep your eyes on God, while only glancing once in a while at your problems, then God will get you. And you'll be able to leave your problems with God. Nicodemus was focused on what he knew, what he could reason, and what he knew of the law. He could not see past that God wanted so much for him, so much more for him than to just follow the law. God wants relationship with us. God wants us to be in loving relationship with each other. And to be in relationship with creation. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do this. God pursues us to be in relationship with God from before we even know that we need it. That's prevenient grace. God wooing you and inviting you to be in relationship with God before you even can speak your first word while you're that little precious baby. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have renewed life, an unbelievable gift from God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can share that gift with the world, witnessing to all about the power and the awesomeness of God. When you have something that's so good, you can't keep it to yourself. Your responsibility is to share it. And Glenn remembers the 69-cent chicken at ShopRite, right? You don't hold that to yourself, right? You go tell everybody in the parking lot the chicken's on sale. Well, God is so much more than 69-cent a pound chicken. You should be shouting it from your rooftops. Nicodemus didn't get the mystery. But through Jesus, the divine has been revealed to us. The unknowable one has made himself known. And the incomprehensible one has made himself heard. Keep your hearts open. Keep your eyes on God. And receive the gift of new life that God offers us. Don't be uncomfortable with the mystery. Embrace it and allow yourself to be immersed in it. Allow yourself to be transformed into the new creation that God intended you to be. May it be so. Amen.